You have your Bibles, I invite you to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke, chapter number 1. I know many families have been plagued, it seems like, with stomach viruses and various things, but we'll just move on. I'll talk about phobias here in a minute. I'm not really a germaphobe by no means, but I will say this, that the time I shake everybody's hands here at Mount Hebron, I probably have used hand sanitizer 10 times, the time you went through. And then I scrub them and all that kind of stuff, and then pray for deliverance, okay? Right? And I think that's just wisdom. Luke chapter number 1. Look at verse number 26 of Luke chapter number 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Our Father, we thank you for the Bible and thankful to be able to gather and worship this morning. May you be honored, may you be glorified as a result of us being here. Father, I pray that you would use this message to strengthen our minds, strengthen our hearts. And God, may we see you and be enamored by you and understand what true love does in our life, what it absolves. Help us to not live a life of fear in any time, of any season, but God, help us to focus on you and to love you with all our heart. That we might be a courageous people. We prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. An old man was asked a question of what had robbed him of his joy the most in his life. And he replied this, things that never happened. I think most of us could agree with that. The things that probably have taken the most joy away from us are things that we anticipated, things that we bore on our shoulders, things we worried about. It never come to pass. The Lord doesn't lay those kind of burdens upon us. Those are things that have come about because of our own fears and our own anxieties that evolve and grow into something so much larger as a result of fear. Fear has been part of the human existence ever since man was created. And we're shortly thereafter. Because when Adam sinned, when Adam fell, he went and hid himself in the garden when God came through looking for him. And he made an excuse. He said, Adam, where art thou? Well, I went and hid myself. I was fearful. I was naked. And I was afraid, right? Fear comes as a result of separation from God and broken fellowship with God. That's important to understand. And I'll probably deal with that more tonight in tonight's message, but I can't get all the way there. People are afraid of a lot of different things. I personally don't like snakes. Anybody with me say amen, okay? Just don't like them. I remember a time me and my cousin were going to go hunting and stay a weekend at my Uncle Walter's cabin up in Kidder. And you drive as far as you can, then you have to get out and walk. We didn't have four-wheelers. We could have got there in a four-wheeler, but we got to get out and walk. And we went up there and the fireplace and just the area where you put the wood and so forth, that old chimney, it needs some help. So we went and gathered some stone. And we were standing there on the back porch, and there were some stones in there. I don't know why they were there. We began to pick them up, move them into the around where we'd place the wood for the fire around the fireplace. And so we picked up one stone together. It's quite large. And when we did, this snake crawled out from under it, went right between Barry's legs. I dropped the stone, rushed back, grabbed my shotgun, and shot it right between his legs. Boom, blew off its head, a hole in the floor, you know, something about like that. He jumped back, screamed, he didn't see the snake, he's scared to death. And he's like, you idiot, you about shot me over a snake not this big. Man, I don't care what you think it was. I don't know. But it was a copperhead rattle moccasin, I think is what they called it, okay? It's dead now, and you ought to be thanking me. And he about had a heart attack. And so we had this. I'm scared of snakes. I'm scared of them. But we go through the woods hunting, and he always make me go first. You know why? Because he's scared of spiders. And you run out of spider webs, and he'd act like, eh. I mean, I'm like, come on, man. You scared of a little spider? All you got to do is do this and smash them, right? Anybody with me? I mean, spiders don't say run across there, just smash them. And maybe if it's a great big spider that can attack me and put me in a figure four leg lock, I might fear that thing. But most spiders, I can smash my thumb, not too scared. But he freaked out. You know, a lot of people are afraid of falling. And somebody said, well, I'm not really fearful of heights because I enjoy the sight. And it's not necessarily the fall because that's exhilarating. It's that sudden splat at the bottom, right? We're fearful of that splat. A lot of people are fearful of a lot of things, diseases. People have fears of clowns. I'm sorry. I have a hard time being afraid of a clown. I think that's silly. But anyway, I know that but people are fearful of financial setbacks. Some people are so scared of old age, they do everything they can to stay it off. I've seen people freak out over gray hair, germs. Some people are fearful over being rejected in life. But we can see that many people in the Bible were stopped by fears. In fact, you go back to Abraham, out of fear, he lied and said that his wife was not his wife, but his sister. Jacob was afraid of Esau. Moses, afraid of Pharaoh. Moses was afraid his own people would reject him. The disciples in the middle of the storm with Jesus with them feared that they would drown. All through the Bible, nothing's changed. Everybody here has something in their life that they're fearful of. Something that just will captivate their heart and their mind and they cannot shake. Logic will never deal with it. Logic will never fix the issue. And the sad thing is, even this time of year, many people deal with unlogical fears. People have fear they don't have enough money to buy everybody the gift that they want in their family. Not meeting everybody's expectations. They fear over meals. Will everybody like it? Will is everything presented the right way? Is they going to view me as a good host? Ladies, worry to death over that stuff, right? Come on, men. Say amen. So your wife's not here. I guarantee she's watching. And so it is, they worry to death about those things. They worry about who's not going to be there, who can be there, who will. And it just seems like everything is fearful. In the story of what we call Christmas, around the birth of Christ, three times there were messengers that came to this earth that were connected with His birth. And three times they brought big news that troubled the hearts of those they delivered them to. They were fearful. And that not only did it come with it was a fearful message. I want you to understand that it was a message of peace. Three times the angel spoke, fear not. And look in three things we're going to look at today. And I'm not going to get through all this morning. Number one, we shouldn't fear God's providence in life. Number two, we shouldn't fear God's program in our life. God knows what He's doing. Amen? And thirdly, we shouldn't fear God's proclamation of the gospel. We shouldn't fear that. If you're lost and you're here today, I want you to understand that the gospel call may be fearful at times when you see where you stand before a holy God, but it shouldn't be because it's a message of hope as well. A message that if you do what God has told you to do, you can be saved. And so, first thing I want you to notice, the fear not of God's providence. The Bible tells us that Mary was a young lady and she was engaged, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Let me just tell you a secret. If an angel wakes you up tonight and delivers a message to you, I'll bet money that you're scared to death. I'll guarantee it. And when she saw him, she was troubled, the Bible says in his saying. And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. And notice the first thing he says in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast now found favor with God." I want you to understand, this woman's life is getting ready to be turned upside down. She, you see the tranquility of her life. This is a young lady. Everything that is going on in her life up to this point is good. She's engaged. She has kept herself pure in the eyes of God. She has kept herself pure spiritually. She has a man that has proposed to her, and they have set a date, and there's a plan to get married. Everything was storybook, like a fantasy any young girl has of getting married and raising a family and serving the Lord. That Mary had all those things. Everything seemed to be perfect in her life. But there comes this trial, because when the angel makes this announcement to her, when Gabriel tells her this, her world's turned upside down. You see, this storybook and this how everything had fallen in place, now she's going to suffer reproach. Now she's going to face humiliation. Now things are not going to be like she planned. That's scary, amen? When things you have worked for and you've done your best and you kept your end of the bargain and your plan falls through, that's a scary place to be. And she was scared, no doubt. But guess what? With this shame that she was going to have to bear, there's something that was going to be afforded to her. Probably the great, it is the greatest honor ever afforded to a woman. And that is to be the very one who bring forth the Christ child. I want you to see, when our lives don't go as God planned, it's easy to fear the unknown. Right? When things get turned upside down, sometimes it's not so much their plans have been crushed. We don't know about the unknown. And he delivers a message to her that she is going to be the one that brings forth the Son of God. He shall be called great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He's tying in all these messianic promises and messianic hopes to the one that is going to be born to her. Her life shattered, but look at everything that's going to transpire in her life. There's no way she can understand this. No way she can conceive all the details. And when I know this, when you change plans for a woman, amen, they want to know all the details and the why. Come on. Right? If you don't have all the details and you don't have all the whys, you're probably in hot water. And sometimes when you have all the details and you have all the whys, you're still yet in hot water. Guess what? She wasn't going to get an explanation how all this transpired. It was a matter about simply trusting God. She had to trust the providential hand of God, that God loved her so much that God would never do her any wrong. Regardless what would come in her life, she would have to rest assured that God was going to use this to get glory for Himself, and it was for her benefit to understand Him even more. Let me just tell you something. Not only is it so in Mary's life, but it's also so in our life that when things happen beyond our control, and when God changes our plans and things doesn't go the way we want it to go, I want you to understand, God's still in control. And guess what? You're still a part of what God's doing. You're still a part of His plan. We're not to fear of His providence. We're not to fear His program. Look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Turn there. Matthew 1, 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." Now we're getting it from a little bit different perspective, right? We got it from the angle of Mary, what she experienced. Now we're going to see it through the eyes of Joseph. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Now his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Think about this. She has found a child, and the Bible says this, "And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately," or privily. Joseph didn't want to embarrass her. Joseph didn't want to hurt her. And I believe Joseph wanted to believe her. But this story is somewhat extraordinary, is it not? That'd be hard to believe. If I was engaged to Jill, she'd come told me a story like that, I'd say she's crazy. I'd run from her as fast as I could. Right? Joseph, better man than me. And so the Bible says right here that, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And notice what he said into a dream. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. Now he wasn't coming to be a teacher. He wasn't coming to be an example. There's the program. What was he coming to do? He was coming to save his people from their sins. Did you see that? He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so you say, Brother Grant, what are you saying? God had a program. God had a plan. And you see, we see God's providence. There's no doubt in Mary's life. He could change that. But notice this, he was going to have to trust that this is the very program of God. This, no doubt, we see Joseph's anguish in these first few verses. He's laboring over, what am I going to do with Mary? His hopes, his dreams, everything had been dashed. Everything had been broken. He knew that he was going to have to give an answer to people asked, what happened? How did this come about? And it was going to be a shock to his pride the rest of his life. And in his mind, he thought, things will never be the same. Things will always be different. I can divorce her quietly and try to slide her off with this baby and send her off somewhere else. And she's going to struggle the rest of her life. And she's going to endure ridicule without any help. Or I can just divorce her publicly and maybe they stone her. And maybe they'll save me some face. But I just don't know what to do. You want me to tell you why he didn't know what to do? Because he was a just man. He was a saved man. And something didn't reside in his heart that this is what he should do. He said, how could he come to that conclusion? I believe the Holy Spirit helped him come to that conclusion. And God showed him more truth. And see, his life turned upside down. And you see, what do you mean? We ought to trust in God's program. Listen, this man's under deep anguish. I want you to see this. He comes to a situation that he thought, like Mary, everything's planned out pretty well. And the Lord went and messed everything up. Maybe your plans fall apart, but sometimes your life falls apart. Huh? Maybe God messed some things up in your life. And you say, why is that? Because that's just what happens as a result of the fall. Job said this in Job 14:1. Man that's born of woman's a few days and he's full of trouble. But not only does he see the anguish of his life dealing with it, when he receives this message, he begins to understand that this is not just about me. And you understand, when you start going through pain, when you start going through suffering, when things don't go your way, instead of acting like a little child being upset with a temper tantrum, understand that this thing is bigger than you. And so what he began to understand, there's some advantage here because that the Bible says in verse 20, while he thought of these things, this angel appeared, says, fear not to take Mary thy wife. The thing that's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. And he said, behold, he quotes the prophet, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And Joseph, being raised in sleep, did as the angel had bidden him. I want you to see this. This gave great advantage to his life through adversity. Although he is going to receive shame and mockery, although that his life is, he's always going to be answering questions. He is the very one that God has chosen to raise the Messiah. I got news for you. God gave him a special privilege. God had handpicked him to provide Jesus with the physical and spiritual training. What a unique position Joseph had. You know why? Because he was a part of God's plan. When things don't go our way, understand this, you're a part of God's plan. And what God's doing is so much bigger than Grant. So much bigger than you. But the problem is, we are very self-centered in our spiritual thinking. That's why some preachers, honestly, when they preach, there's exegesis. You bring out from the text what the text actually says. Then there's this eisegesis, where you insert your opinion into the text and say, this is what it means. And then there's these preachers that are narcissists. You know what narcissists is? They think the Bible's all about them. Bunch of narcissists, amen? Good news for you. It ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's about Him. And it's about His glory. Quit making it about you. Because you'll never find true joy until you're enamored by who He is. And so you'll find this advantage of His life. He had an assignment that was given to His life. And you know what it was? He was to make the Lord's will the priority of His life. And that's exactly what He did. Because He rose from sleep. He didn't argue. He didn't use logic. He didn't turn to any of the prophets and say, did Isaiah say something different here? Did Isaiah say something that will shed more light on? You know what He did? He simply obeyed what God told him to do. And He took, the Bible says, His wife and knew her not. The man had restraint, knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. I want to say to you, you find His life was difficult. And the problem is, sometimes we come through life and we want to argue God's program, what God is doing. We should never feel God's purpose. Sometimes God's purpose may look bad. It may look painful, but in the end, He's going to be glorified, and you're going to be blessed if you'll just submit to it. I like some verses like 2 Corinthians. So I'm going to read them to you. 4, 15 through 17. For all things, for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us an exceeding weight of eternal glory. You see that? An exceeding weight of eternal glory. I don't care what you go through in life. My cousin in her 50s developed Alzheimer's. Really, in the past couple years, she didn't know hardly anybody. The past year, she didn't know her husband, she didn't know her children, and she was trapped in her own body, frustrated, and you couldn't explain anything to her why, and she was scared of everybody, and she would cry. What a terrible shape to be in. Can you imagine that? Dying in your 60s through Alzheimer's and deal with it to that degree with your family and have so much life to live, not knowing your grandchildren, and she just trapped in a body. And a mind that didn't work. Think about that. Awful, awful. I thought about my mom when she was laying there with cancer, and I couldn't even rub her arm or pat her because the cancer was spreading and hurting her every way I touched her, and the bed sores and the sickness. And I watched her, and I remember reading this verse to her, and I told her, I said, Mommy, the Bible says, as awful as this is just light affliction that lasts for a moment. That's all it is. It's a light affliction that lasts for a moment, but guess what? It worketh a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. You know what I believe? I believe once we leave this life, all the suffering, we may think it's immense, we may think it's difficult, all the tribulation, all the discouragement, all the anxiety, everything we face will seem like nothing the moment we see our Savior's face. It'll seem like nothing. It's a lot of affliction. It meant nothing in comparison to the glory that's ahead. Brothers and sisters, that's something to rejoice about. That's what Paul said in Romans 5 and 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, in which the Holy Ghost is given to us. Romans 8:28, it says, for we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Now we say we believe that about Mary, and we believe that about Joseph, but do we believe that about our life? Because it's still yet real. Still yet real. Let me just say to you, we don't need to fear God's providence. We don't need to fear God's program. God knows what He is doing. I'm going to give you a couple things in application. I'll finish the sermon tonight. But number one, do not fear God's providence. And our lives don't go the way that we plan and the way that we think that it should go. The thing to do often with many Christians is they sit back and they ponder the unknown. And they're paralyzed by the unknown. Most of the things I've ever been terrified of in my life, listen to this, never came to pass. and the things that did come to pass, God was with me in a mighty way. And I experienced Him. Mary, she got called to do something she hadn't planned, but God's presence and God's blessing was with her in a way she could never had ever explained to anybody prior to that happening. That's what God does. Let me say this. If something doesn't go as you planned, fear not. Especially if it's the unknown. All is known by God. Do you know that? Nothing takes God by surprise. And I can trust to God that nothing's going to take Him by surprise. He knows. Let me tell you this. Don't fear God's program. Sometimes it feels like our life has got messed up and there's no way we can go back. And we feel like God, He's required too much of us. I can't sacrifice that. And I can't. So we begin to question what God's doing, God's program, God's purposes. And they may look bad in the beginning, but we know all things work together for what? Good. It comes together for good. To them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. Like buttermilk biscuits. Lard by itself is not good. A cup full of flour, if you try to eat it, is not good. Buttermilk, a glass of it, in my opinion, is not good. But you mix all those things together, you bake it, it turns out to be something awesome. And so, all things work together turn out good, not all things are good. When God's done, it will all be good. If our plans fall apart, and God asks something different from us, we don't need to be fearful. Be thankful you're a part of God's plan, what He's doing. Because you see, He's so much smarter than you, and you'd mess His plan up, so He had to break up your plan. Fear is something all through the Bible. He tells Mary, fear not. Joseph, fear not. We're going to look at the shepherds tonight because He tells them, fear not as well. There was a great Scottish preacher named John McNeil. He told this story about his childhood. He had to walk a long distance to home every evening, and his route led him through a forest with a large ravine. People have said wild animals were there, dangerous animals, and that there were gangs of people who were robbers that were known to be hanging out in that ravine. Fear would seize his heart as he made his way past the spooky looking trees. And he recalled this one night. It was really dark. And I was aware that something or someone was moving slowly and quietly toward me. I was sure it was a robber. When suddenly a voice called out, and its eerie tone struck my heart with fear. I thought I was finished. Then came a second call, and this time I could hear the voice saying, John, is that you? It was my father. He had known of my fear and had come out to meet me. It was the word of John McNeil's father that brought peace to his heart that fearful, fearful night. And you know what? We as God's people are fearful human beings. And what we need is a word from our Father. And I'll tell you, the Bible, throughout the Word of God, you'll find this, is fear not. If you're living in fear, you're living in sin. A word from Him is able to expel and destroy and eliminate our fears. And I'll tell you how, and tonight I'm really going to hammer this. How do we deal with fear? Is it learning how to be more courageous? No, that's dumb. Somebody scared, child scared, should be courageous or scared of the dark. Holler at them, tell them, no, you don't do that. You know how you do? You either go lay down beside them, let them feel your presence. Huh? Or they need to know you love them so much that you ain't ever going to let something happen to them. And the Bible tells us we're either enamored by who Christ is and we'll have no fear, or we love Him and perfect love casts out fear. The answer for fear is not courage. The answer for fear is love. And their life was to be a life that stayed close to God. And a life not only stayed close to God, but loved God, can be a fearless life. And today I want to encourage you, whatever fears and anxieties you have going into this holiday season, turn it to Christ. Our Father, I thank You for the Word of God. Pray that if there's anyone here struggling this morning, they're worried about their family. They're worried about their children. Decisions that they've made, the places that they are in their life. Maybe there's those here that are worried about their marriage. They're worried about this different family dynamics. There's those here that's worried maybe about their financial situation, plans for the future, and maybe there's things that they have on the horizon that loom, that scare them to the core. I pray today they'll look to you, knowing that you're in control, and God, that you have a plan, and if they're saved, you're part of that plan. They're part of it. God, I pray that they will lean fully on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and sing.